Make sure you're subscribed to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Type The Word of the Lord Endures Forever in your podcast provider. Hit that subscribe button and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
Hear the labored breathing, the fear in their eyes, and their minds reeling. But that is Yahweh. That's what Yahweh does. Who is this? Can he be? Is it possible?
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the Gospel of St. Mark.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. Last time, we heard Jesus thinking out loud about what to use to present a simile or comparison with the kingdom of God. We noted those tended to be shorter, more streamlined, or he would sometimes use a full-grown parable, and that had more of a story character to it. But either way, he was looking for a way to get his hearers thinking with him about the mysterious ways of God that we call the kingdom, and of which, of course, he is the king. He settles on the mustard seed and focuses upon its tininess. It's so itty-bitty. But when it's planted, up it grows into a rather sizable garden plant, an herb bush big enough for birds to actually take up residence in its branches. That, says Jesus, is how the kingdom is. It starts in small, but it winds up big. As small as Jesus in the womb of Mary, then buried in the earth, but then he is alive again on the other side of death, and he starts joining folks to him via baptism and the gospel, and before you know it, that little tree that started so tiny there in Palestine has spread its branches over the entire earth with a welcome to all. And remember Lyser's fun insight that mustard stings the eye, and that we Christians ought to live in such a way as to make Satan's eyes smart when he sees it. A reading from St. Mark, the 4th chapter, beginning at the 35th verse. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear, and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" St. Mark 4, verses 35 to 41. Let us pray. Lord of wind and wave, be present among us still to speak your powerful word and show that we have nothing to fear when we live under your protecting care. We ask it in your holy name. Amen. Well, you ready to ponder God's word for today? Let's dig into this beautiful one. Verse 35. On that day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." On that day means on the day he delivered all those parables. He'd been preaching there in the boat by the seaside, using it as his makeshift pulpit, and the crowds had stood or sat along the shore and listened as he propounded to them the mysteries of the kingdom of God in those chestnuts or riddles. But as the sun was setting, he wraps up his teaching, and he proposes to the disciples that instead of staying there, maybe Capernaum, they cross over the sea to the other side. Verse 36. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. So he doesn't even move, but they dig out their paddles and maybe set a sail, and off they go. He leaves the crowds on the land behind. But there were obviously folks around him listening from other boats, and they're not so quickly left behind. They decide to head out wherever the disciples are making for too. I wonder if any of the men in the boats had looked at the sky and wondered about the wisdom of this evening crossing. There were probably signs that made them, as seasoned fishermen, at least a tad nervous. But Jesus had asked to cross over, so across the lake they began. Verse 37, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. The warning inside their heads no doubt went from a yellow caution to a blasting full-on red alert. The wind kicked up suddenly. The lake began churning. Instead of worrying about moving the boat forward, they had a new concern, keeping the boat afloat. It was starting to fill up. The wind seemed to keep increasing. The angry waves kept swamping the boat. No mention in this verse or for the rest of the story about those other boats, but don't lose that detail. I think it does have some significance, even though it's not the focus of the story. We're going to come back to it. Verse 38. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Yes, I know some of you might not believe that teaching can wear you out. But if you doubt it, here's the proof. Jesus had fallen asleep up in the back of the boat, the aft, the stern, on a comfy pillow. He was snoozing there, and thus seemingly oblivious to wind and wave and danger of shipwreck and sinking. I'm sure that first they just left him to snooze, but as the situation grew more dire and it became manifest to them that they couldn't handle it, I wonder if they were thinking, you know, another hand bailing here might make the difference. Wake him up. And so they wake him up with the anguished question, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" What a question to put to Jesus. He was there in human flesh and blood and in the boat with them and with us in order that we might not perish but have eternal life. But sometimes his ways leave us fearful and wondering whether he even cares. "Can you lend us a hand at least?" seems, as I said, implied. But he doesn't lift a finger to help out. Instead, he speaks. Verse 39. And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Have you ever been deeply asleep and suddenly roused? You remember that little moment of disorientation, don't you? I think that's what it must have been like for him, coming out of the deep sleep, showing his true human nature, tired, just worn out, and having to sort out what's going on. And then, fully awake, he just speaks. "Winds, waves, knock it off already. Behave yourselves. Peace, be still." He no sooner spoken than it all transpired. Suddenly, there was no wind. Suddenly, even the lake's surface was still, flat as a pancake, just by his speaking. If his human nature was clearly shown in his evening nap in the boat, his divine nature was just as clearly seen in the way he dared to speak to nature, to wind, to wave. And wind and wave had no choice but to instantly come to heel at his call. Remember I said there were other boats with him? I think we learn a truth here. Where Jesus calms the storm for his own, others benefit too. That is, in the well-being of the church, the society itself, those around, are blessed. Let Jesus speak his peace, his "be still." And not merely those in the boat with him, think church, but others too, experience the calm which His Word alone can bring to this world. Verse 40. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" Picture them, will you? See them breathing heavy. Their eyes had been wide with terror already, but they grew whiter at what they just witnessed. And now he has the nerve to turn to them and ask, "Why are you so afraid? How about, well, master, we're going to go down. We're going to drown. You too. It's over." But Jesus has that look on his face that shakes them. He never panicked. He was calm and peaceful through the whole incident. There was never anything that seemed to make him fretting or fearful. And that must surely have stood out, because we fallen human beings are such a fearful lot. He asks, "Have you still no faith?" I think you need to hear that as, "Have you still no faith in me? Haven't you pieced it together yet? Can you really have seen the lepers cleansed, the sick healed, the demon-possessed set free, and not begun to realize who I am? Really?" Verse 41. And they were filled with fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" They were afraid before. They're even more afraid now. I kind of see them backing away from him, keeping their distance as they whisper to each other, "Who is this?" Remember, I told you that's the key to the whole Gospel of Mark. Who is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? I think they put the question like that because they all knew and could probably sing from the heart. Psalm 107. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They see the deeds of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Psalm 107, verses 23 to 29. Hear the labored breathing, the fear in their eyes, and their minds reeling. But that is Yahweh. That's what Yahweh does. Who is this? Can he be? Is it possible? They'll see more that will help convince them along the way. But as far as Jesus is concerned, they've seen enough to know the truth. Surely they must realize what it all meant about who was sitting there on the cushion in their boat. Surely. Well, if the disciples weren't yet convinced, the poet Prudentius was. He sang of this in the late 2nd century. "His power and miracles proclaim him God. I see the wild winds suddenly grow calm when Christ commands. I see the storm-tossed sea grow smooth with tranquil surface bright at Christ's behest. He chides the winds and bids the tempest cease." Who would command the stormy gales, "Be still, your strongholds keep and leave the boundless sea," except the Lord and maker of the winds? Do not forget this, people loved by God, that Jesus climbed into the bark of humanity precisely so that he might speak his calming peace and be still and show that, yes, he cares about you, about the troubles that are rocking your boat even today. As we sing, "Be still, my soul. The winds and waves still know his voice who ruled them while he dwelt below." That's what we're going to call it quits for today, people loved by God. Next up, on the other side of the sea, they'll land in the country of the Gerasenes, where Jesus encounters that poor, tormented man who lived with the dead among the tombs. And Jesus will speak his powerful word again and set him free. The most hopeless of human plights is no problem for the true physician of our souls. Till next time, then, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.